Hello, everybody, and welcome to another episode of Lower Education. I'm Matt Chanowski, and I'm joined by my lovely and in a new apartment co-host, Rob Thompson.
Hello, hello. I am, after a week off because I had to move, I am thirsty for some new knowledge. So let's get right into it.
Sounds good. So do you remember the homework assignment I gave you last time?
So for someone who said they were thirsting for knowledge, I wasn't thirsting enough because I forgot the assignment. So I'm just going to go ahead and just take this one on the chin, teach.
Okay, that's fine. This one I think is something you can riff off in general. I asked you about reptiles as pets. In general, how do you feel about reptiles as pets?
How do I feel about it?
Yeah.
I've never understood it. I feel like a pet is something that you should be able to interact with. You know, it should be able to roam. Like, I have the same kind of feelings with birds as pets. I think it's wrong to kind of just put a bird in a cage and just kind of have it as a pet. The same way, like, a snake. Like, I don't like snakes, but, like, I would much prefer a snake be outdoors in its natural habitat than in a fucking cage or a glass box. So I just think reptiles in general are weird because, like, they can't roam, can't snuggle with them, and usually, you know, there's the off chance that they're going to be what kills you.
Okay, that's a pretty fair assessment. I think a lot of people share that sentiment. In general, I was pretty anti-reptiles as pets, but when we lived in the fraternity house, someone had a snake, and it was actually pretty cool.
How big of a snake?
Probably if you were to, like, I mean, we never did this because this would be mean to the snake, but if you were to just pull it taut, probably, I don't know, maybe like 3 feet. So
did you ever hear about the story of that woman who took her snake to the vet because it wasn't eating, and all of a sudden it stopped curling up when it went to sleep and it started laying like straight, and it's all because it was like starving itself and kind of lining itself up next to her so it could prepare to eat her?
Oh my God. I don't see. Here's what I'm gonna say though. I would never. So the thing I learned about snakes is they naturally grow to like the size of their cage. So if you have some really big snakes, you got to be letting it out a lot, and also just like putting a ton in. So there is a way to keep it so it doesn't get ridiculous. If you're doing that, you're just asking for trouble.
Dude, speaking of snakes, I'm going to send this picture to you. We can also post it on the account. My dad killed the biggest rattlesnake I've ever seen last week. Let me get your instant reaction real quick. I mean, the body is like as thick as his leg, and it was about 5 feet long. He was back behind his chickens.
He was back behind the chickens?
Hold on, I'm getting an Amber Alert on my phone, and I can't hear anything.
God, that's easily 6 feet.
Wait, hold on. Are you there?
Yeah.
I just got an Amber Alert on my phone, and I could not hear a single thing.
Okay, yeah, that's easily 6 feet.
He's like, Rob, you know me, I don't get spooked too often, but he goes, I was pretty damn spooked. I'm like, well, yeah. I'm like, the fact that you had the balls to go back and, like, try and kill it, I mean, he just shot it. he shot it multiple times just to make sure it's dead.
That's one of those things where I'm like, I don't know if I can leave, because if I come back and this thing's gone, I just can't go outside for the rest of the year.
It's like, it's not where I put it. Yeah, dude, that's some crazy stuff, because, like, he tends to his chickens every single day. And, like, did he hear it? Like, did he just come, like, what if you don't hear it? And what if you just stumble upon a 5 foot rattlesnake that's thicker than my thigh? Like, that's, I mean, you're dead. you're actually
yeah.
dead.
Oh, yeah. Easy.
I
that's,
mean,
yeah, that, that's like 6 feet, not 5 feet. That's ridiculous.
God. But yeah, we can post that on the gram if we need to.
Yeah. I'll leave with one more snake story, but before we get into our topic, so going back to the snake that was in the fraternity house, the house pet, a bunch of people, like freshmen, would often come back and like, I mean, like we would just like hand it around and play with it. It was like honestly pretty chill. But one time a bunch of freshmen came back and were post gaming at the fraternity house, and they left the lid off the cage, and the snake got out, and we all woke up, and we were like, okay, well, the snake is probably somewhere in the house, and so we called an exterminator to be like, can we try and figure out how to track down this snake? And so we go and we meet with the exterminator, and I asked him, I was like, do you ever get any wild stuff like this? And he's like, you mean like the python loose in the fraternity house? And I was like, yeah. And he's like, no, not at all. He's like, I think this one takes the cake.
Did you Google how to find snake in house and you came upon the exterminator? I just don't think exterminator would be my first guess. I think, well, in my circumstance, calling my father would be the first the first move, but I just wouldn't think exterminator to catch snake.
I don't know. I think exterminator is appropriate in that situation.
Yeah, I guess I treat this snake like a snake that we want to exterminate, but don't kill it.
Yeah, exactly. No, we never found it.
What?
Yep. It either escaped or it is somewhere dead in the walls of that house.
Did all of the freshmen who let it loose, did they get dropped?
No. I can't remember. I think it was kind of funny. The guy who had the snake was like, yeah, it's chill. He just didn't really care that much.
You probably saw this guy in downtown Athens, but a guy who works for the football team, you know, he's older, a former player, but, you know, his role is kind of to make sure that the players aren't being idiots late night downtown. And he's got this massive, like, that yellow, whitish, like, python.
Oh, I know what you're talking about.
Yeah, and he just sit on the corner, I guess, like, while he's just kind of making sure the players aren't being dipshits. He's just got this massive python on the corner of downtown Athens, and, like, people are coming up and taking pictures, blah, blah, blah. I'm just like, I just don't know how you own that thing. One, and then also, two, feel comfortable bringing that out in public. Like, it's the whole idea of owning a snake is just the weirdest thing to me.
Yeah, that's crazy. Well, anyways, that leads us into today's topic. We are going to talk about Pacho and Cheeto.
Pacho and Cheeto?
Yeah. So there was this guy named Gilberto Cheeto. Cheeto was his nickname, but Gilberto Shedden. And he's just this farmer in Costa Rica. And one day he's just walking along the bank of this river, and he sees this crocodile that has been injured, and it was like shot in the eye, but it was still living. And so this crocodile weighs about 150 pounds. And this guy's like, you know what? I'm going to nurse it back to health. Which I should also note, the crocodile was shot because it was trying to prey on like cattle from another farmer. So I think it's kind of counterintuitive at this point to be like, yeah, no, this is a good idea. Let's rehab this thing that's trying to, you know, slaughter the animals in our community.
Yeah. He wanted those warm-blooded animals, but he won't want me.
Yeah. Don't worry. We can rehabilitate this man.
What we haven't asked is, did the cows try and reason with the alligator first? Or did they just assume he was a bad person, which then prompted the attack? So maybe our boy Cheeto is, you know, maybe he's more open to the idea of the alligator being a good person. Or crocodile, whichever.
Yeah, he's like, listen, I haven't heard the crocodile side of the story. We know what the cows are going to say. They're always saying the same thing. But, I mean, we really got to hear him out. So when he gets the crocodile, it's like 150 pounds and I think like a meter and a half long, which is pretty big.
You know, that just, you had to have just read that off of a Wikipedia, because when have you ever used a meter and a half as a unit of measure? Because we were just talking about the snake and you called it 6 feet.
Yeah. Lately in my life, I've been trying to incorporate the metric system. You know, I've been watching the Olympics, and
once this Delta variant's out of the way, I plan on traveling. I don't want to seem like I don't know what's going on. So instead of learning other languages, I'm just learning the metric system.
Yeah, exactly. So this guy, he brings his crocodile home. This new crocodile, who he names Pacho. And he starts rehabbing it. And what he does, this relates to your father. He starts feeding it about 65 pounds of chicken and fish a week, which I feel like for a farmer in a developing nation, that's a lot to sacrifice.
That is a lot to sacrifice.
How many pounds of chicken do you think your dad has in his coop?
So we don't kill the chickens. The chickens are just hens for egg laying purposes. Now, my dad is a big fisherman, so I can say that per week, 60 pounds of fish per week is, it's, I'm viewing gallon bags, and he fills up, I've seen him fill up a gallon bag, and to imagine 60 pounds of that, if let's just say it was just fish, that is an absurd amount of food. Like, that's got to be a fat alligator at some point.
Oh, yeah. I mean, and like I said, also, just thinking about getting 60 pounds of chicken at the market. Well, then again, I think you don't have to feed them, like, cuts of meat. I think you just kind of just toss them the whole thing. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
Still a good bit.
That's still so much food. That's still so much, yeah. So much food you could cook for, I don't know, a family?
Oh, yeah. You could feed many families with that. So the crocodile is, like, having a little trouble eating. So he starts trying to, like, teach the crocodile how to eat. And he'll get in the crocodile's face and start, like, chewing to show it that it needs to chew its food and whatnot.
Oh, my God.
Which, I mean, in general, I mean, that's... I think at some point you got to be like, we got to take this thing out behind the barn and just resolve it.
Yeah, did Cheeto not have friends? Like, is there, like, why is he so invested in an alligator? And also, and just building on the idea of him just not giving food to actual people, do people hate Cheeto?
I'd have to imagine in Costa Rica there are some food shortages and people in the town are like begging and he's like, nah, I gotta, he's going to the market grabbing all the fish and chicken. Yeah. You guys didn't hear the gator out or the crocodile.
You know what? You guys are all cows. It's so obvious at this point.
Yeah. Can't trust anyone. He's essentially just turning into QAnon, but he thinks everyone else is a cow instead of QAnon, which thinks people are pedophiles, which do exist, but we're not going to go down that rabbit hole.
Which do exist.
They are not fictional. If you see something, say something. That's our official stance on that. So... Crocodile is still not getting better, so he starts sleeping with it and giving it hugs and kisses all the time.
No, dude, no, don't go here. I was expecting a lot of things. I wasn't expecting where I think you're about to go.
Where do you think I'm about to go?
Is he gonna Is he gonna fuck the alligator?
Well, it's a guy, so well, I mean, technically you can still, but I work through that in my head really quick. I'll tell you that that doesn't happen. There's none of that to our knowledge. He essentially the gator finally starts getting better, and he starts to actually respond to being called his name.
What?
So to rehab the gator, this man builds a small pond on his land and starts taking the gator for swims, or the croc for swims.
Jesus.
And
he's putting it in its natural habitat of where it preys.
Oh, yeah. And let me send you a picture real quick. We will post this on the Instagram as well. It's a very large crocodile. So, this man, you know, they're friends at this point. He's giving him belly rubs. He's giving him, you know, tons of love. And he decides, let's open a show. You know, let's start making some money off this. So, he starts this show where essentially he teaches this crocodile, like, dog tricks. Like, he teaches the crocodile how to blink. The thing the crocodile always does whenever Cheeto first enters the water is the crocodile swims up to him super fast with an open mouth, then closes his mouth so Cheeto can give him a kiss.
That's pretty damn cute.
I mean, more so than cute, that's horrifying. A crocodile running towards you with an open mouth. I mean, that's one of those things where you gotta have some massive balls, because one time if he gets too hungry, he could just keep moving instead of stopping for the kiss.
That's fair. That's a fair point, but I mean, I'm not going to diminish how impressive this is. I completely disagree with it, but it's pretty impressive.
Yeah. So he also teaches it. I think, I'm not sure if I said roll over, but I think out of all the tricks you want to teach it, you shouldn't teach it roll over, because you're essentially just teaching it how to do a gator roll if it ever wants to get a bite of you.
Dude, I've seen some nasty videos of
you've gone big into the gator YouTube wormhole, or the croc, yes, YouTube, dude, wormhole.
Not even the wormhole. Like you just stumble across those, like, I think the account was like nature is metal.
Oh, and, yeah.
And then it's just one gator or crocodile, whichever one, I think it's crocodile, just latching onto another crocodile's arm, and then within like a second just rips its entire arm off. Via the roll.
Oh, the whole nature is metal account is so funny to me, because I know some people who are like, yeah, like nature's just kind of interesting and whatnot, but I know some people who are like, this is sick, like nature is just like an untamed animal, while they like sit there working at their Excel jockey job as the most seriously domesticated form of a species, and they're like, dude, we came from monkeys, dude. We were built to be in the wild.
So shut up, Jared.
Yeah. Do you have those TPS reports? I've been waiting on this all week. Yeah. So after about 20 years and becoming good friends, this crocodile sadly passes away of natural causes. And at the time he passes away, the crocodile is roughly 16 feet long and weighs 1,000 pounds.
Good Lord.
Could you imagine getting in the water with that?
No. I wouldn't get in it with a bum. The 150-pound
one?
When I first found it on the side of the river or the road, I wouldn't get in the damn water with it.
Yeah.
Now we're talking like a dinosaur.
Literally, the first side of the road thing, I imagine if I encountered that, I would have been like, damn, it's a shame. Like, this animal's hurt, you know. This person, you know, got shot and it's just sitting here. I better go get my gun and finish the job. Put it out of its misery.
Yeah, it's your time to be a hero. You gotta kill the gator.
But exactly.
This dude just took it a whole different direction, and now he's best friends swimming with a fucking dinosaur.
So, essentially, this gator dies, and they have this big funeral for it. And hundreds of people come from all over, and the owner of it is just crying a ton and is super sad, which is kind of sad because it's his, you know, it's his best friend. His best friend is a cold-blooded killer of a reptile who eats hundreds of pounds of meat every week. And he sings it a song called The Great Pretender, which I'm like, he says, I'm the great pretender, pretending I'm doing well. My need is such I pretend too much. I'm lonely, but no one can tell. So he's super lonely that this man, that this crocodile has died. So, right now, it's obviously crazy, but I found this at the end of the article, and the specific reason I chose to talk about this topic is because there was no mention of this prior, but at the very end of the article during the funeral, they mention that this man is crying into the arms of his wife, Olga. So, this man is married.
Yeah, that was not expecting that. That's like the biggest turn of the story.
The entire thing. It's not that he didn't get eat by the gator. It's that he's married.
Oh my God. What's Olga thinking the whole time?
Well, I'm also curious to see this woman because her name is Olga, which is not a traditional Costa Rican name.
Correct.
But
I shouldn't say correct. What I
want to see is the initial interaction when, you know, this man brings this gator that has been shot home just back to the farm to his wife. You know, she's making dinner and he's like, honey, I got something for you. And she's like, oh my God, what is it? Maybe you went into town, got me a gift or something. And he's like, it's a gator who's been shot in the head.
It's like worst case scenario from like when a kid asks like, oh dad, can we keep it? Talking about like a dog. Like, hey, can we get this manged alligator?
Yeah.
And then create it into a circus animal.
She was probably like, oh, that's nice. Is that for us to, you know, like make food with or like make cook or something? He's like, no. I'm going to devote all of my time and resources to nursing it back to health.
And by the way, I just quit my job.
Yeah, I think at this point, what she's got to be thinking if she's a rational woman is like, oh yeah, this thing's dead in a week.
Yeah, you probably, like to appease your husband and not seem like a buzzkill, you probably say, yeah, it's fine, keep it, because you assume that this one-eyed alligator will die within the week. And then it just doesn't.
Yeah. Well, so he starts feeding him one night, and you're like, oh, okay, this is like his little like project for a month or so. And then all of a sudden you start waking up in the middle of the night and he's gone. He's just started sleeping with the gator. And I think at this point it's still like shot and can't even really eat, so like you're not worried about it killing him and whatnot, but you're still like, this man is leaving our bed at night to go sleep with a reptile? What's going on here?
Yeah, it's gotta be a pretty big slap in the face. That's a big what am I doing wrong moment.
Yeah. Olga starts, you know, hitting the gym, trying to get back into into the shape when they first met and whatnot, you know, trying to get his attention back. And, you know, it's working. You know, he stops sleeping with the gator, but, you know, the gator's kind of healthy. And so he's like, oh, maybe he'll let it go now. But, you know, you go and you see that he's been coming back from the fields after long days, and he doesn't necessarily have, he's not coming back with any crops or any animals. You're like, what are you doing? He's like, oh, I'm making a pond for the gator, you know, just so he can hang out there. And I think at that point, you're like, okay, that's fine. We can put some fish in the pond. The gator can chill in there. And that's that. And then you just see he starts swimming with the gator, and you're like, all right, come on.
Does it say anywhere if he had a kid?
So I don't think he had a kid.
Because that would be hilarious. If the kid just got completely neglected because of an alligator.
You know what I think? Okay, so this would be very tragic. But I think just it's a funny hypothetical is the kid gets eaten by the gator. Obviously tragic. Let's go ahead and say that right there.
Hilarious hypothetical, but, you got going here.
Yeah. The wife is obviously irate. However, he gets into the argument with his wife. He's like, he knew not to go near Pacho, or, you know, it's not the gator's fault. We can't blame him for this. You know, he was poking him with a stick, and just him and his wife arguing about how the gator ate their child and him defending the gator.
You know, Pacho is a victim of abuse. And then you're just going to let little tiny Cheeto poke him with a stick? No, he was asking for it.
Listen, he's got to stick up for himself at one point or another. All the other crocodiles have been bullying him at school. You know, we've been trying to tell him to stand up for himself, and here he is. I think this is progress, if it's anything.
The kid just doesn't have an arm?
Yeah, him just spinning it as a net positive. I think once he starts swimming with the gator, that's when her concern comes out of the thing that you said, where it's like, this man is making love to this alligator.
Yeah, in terms of like the actual jealousy part of it, yeah, I'd say so. I can agree with that. I mean, because I thought it was weird from the beginning. But the actual, like, true jealousy of, like, what the hell is going on here? And just, like, not even jealousy, like, just being weirded out. It's, I would say it's the swimming.
Oh, yeah, for sure. I think you're also like, yeah, I need a life insurance policy. Like, we need as many life insurance policies as we can get our hands on right now. Because this man is going to get eaten by this gator.
Yeah, it's pretty smart. What if the wife imported a baby gorilla?
Yeah.
And then we have a Costa Rican backwoods version of Kong vs. Godzilla.
I think not more so than Kong vs. Godzilla. It's like I'm trying to think, like, of a classic domestic situation where it's like the guy get like the husband buys a motorcycle, so the wife goes out and buys like a new bag, and it's just she gets a gorilla just for passive aggressive purposes, just
I don't to know, minorly I'm piss him off. Them like Pokemon style. If you can teach, okay. If you can teach the crocodile to do things on command, we can definitely teach a primate.
Oh, so, for sure.
Like, Pacho, I choose you. Do death roll.
Dude, so where's the battle going to be fought is the question.
I think on the edge of the water.
Okay. There's a pretty good video. I think it's called Alligator vs. Lion vs. Buffalo. Or maybe Alligator vs. Cheetah vs. Buffalo. Look it up on YouTube. It's the three of them duking it out. No, I'd like to see that. I think honestly the gorilla takes that.
I think
'Cause
so
what?
too.
Yeah. I mean, here's the deal. If the gate or the croc, if nice Pacho drags him under, you can just drown him. But I think if the gorilla just gets a solid hold on Pacho, Pacho's toast.
Yeah. You just gotta keep it on land, man.
Or, okay, so the gorilla freaks out, kills Olga and Chito, and then all of a sudden, the gorilla and Pacho have teamed up, and now they are, they're forming kind of a super alliance. They're coming together like the Brooklyn Nets to form a super team of circus animals, and they go on the road themselves and they become millionaires.
Best case scenario.
Well, I mean, aside from the murder, yeah, but
Yes. They
best
actually
case
just put on a
scenario
show
is.
to lure just humans in, and then they just kill them and eat them.
Yeah. Everyone's been going to see this show, but I haven't heard anything about it. No one,
Yes. The ticket sales are through the roof, but I have zero reviews on Google.
yeah. I mean, they're staying there to watch for a long time. They must really like it. So back to his wife, Olga. I think at the funeral, she's got to be so happy.
Yes.
He's
Yes.
just bawling in her arms, and she's giving the classic, just pat him on the back, just be there for him, and just put on a show. People are watching, but she's got to be so happy
Oh yeah.
that this
100%.
crocodile is dead.
I'm still just
So,
blown away that he has a wife.
yeah, no, that's. So I also thought there's an alternative to this where, so I couldn't figure out when the wife was met and when she came into the picture. So there's either the scenario we came up with, or he met a woman after he had a pet crocodile, and she still decided to marry him. Which I think isn't impossible, but I think it's one of those things where someone doesn't know what they're getting into. Like, for instance, I put that I do stand up on my Hinge profile, and it does very well. A lot of girls are like, "Wow, that's really cool." And like whenever I go on Hinge dates, they're like, "Wow, that's a super neat thing. Not a lot of guys do that. Like, I really like that." I'm like, "Yeah, you don't like the trauma that comes with it and is the reason I do this. Like, we're gonna get a little deeper and you're gonna figure out it's not that great."
You haven't heard me actually do the stand-up yet.
She probably is like, "Wow, this is cool. This guy has a crocodile that like really likes him." But then he realizes, or she realizes that this is just a crazy man who probably has a deep-seated fantasy with this dinosaur.
Yep. That's got to be a tough realization, but yeah, I'm starting to agree with the theory of that she came into the picture later. Maybe after he was already touring. She was maybe a
Oh,
crocodile
she was in
gold
it for the
digger.
money?
Yeah.
Oh, that might be it. Maybe that's why she's happy at the funeral. It's just 'cause she knows, I mean, the money has stopped flowing in, but she's like for some reason in my head, I was just thinking that he's been splitting the money with the crocodile and that she's not getting a cut of it because of it.
It's
There's
like
no way.
that animal rights group that like fought to give like the IP rights to that monkey who took the selfie, and they took the ownership away from the photographer.
Is that a real thing?
That's a real thing.
So, does the monkey have the IP?
Yes.
Really?
I really hope I wasn't like duped by like an Onion article, but let me look this up.
Monkeys because
selfie lawsuit.
I'm so dumb that I was just thinking the money is going to the crocodile, and he's like, she wants to push him out because she wants his cut.
Yeah, so the title here is Monkey Selfie Lawsuit Ends with Settlement Between PETA and Photographer. Of course PETA came through and tried to give the monkey a damn its rights to a picture.
This guy's a starving photographer who has yet to have his big break. He's been
the images.
He Naruto finally gets took. It. That's so mean to take away. I mean, don't get me wrong. If we live in a society where, you know, these monkeys are, you know, exchanging in fiat currency with us, then yeah, give them the IP. But this is probably just a freelance photographer who really needs money.
Yeah, I'm just deep into this article. Apparently the settlement came with the photographer donating like 25% of proceeds to like the monkey's habitat in Indonesia.
Okay, you know what? Here's what I'll say. That's like fair, I guess, you know. But at the end of the day, if it was the photographer's equipment and the monkey was borrowing it, there's got to be some, you know, like if I start a business and I'm doing work on my work laptop, like my company technically owns that business.
Yep.
So I think I'd like to learn, this might be a whole nother episode.
It might have to be, dude. I mean, it's... Oh God! It looks like the photographer kind of agreed with PETA at one point about expanding the legal rights for non-human animals. My God.
Yeah, I think PETA is also interesting because, you know, they're people for the ethical treatment of animals, but technically humans are animals, and I think they look past this a lot.
Ooh. It doesn't go both ways.
Checkmate, PETA. I'm sure no one has ever said that to you.
You're the first one.
Yeah.
Like the good old mistake comment. Completely original.
What's the mistake comment?
Like going vegan is a big missed stake.
There we go. Yeah, PETA is just PETA is shuddering in their boardroom, just like, damn it. How do we combat this? They've got us. They've got us. So the story of Cheeto is not over though. So although Cheeto lost his best friend Pacho, there were some rumors in the air that he's trying to get a new Pacho. Now, he said, you know, there will only ever be one Pacho. However, he did find another alligator in the river. And essentially, I think to this day, still might be trying to befriend it. And, you know, the wife was so happy that Pacho was finally dead, and immediately this guy's like, I'm ready to have my heart ripped out. Or what's the Michael Scott quote? I'm ready to be hurt again.
Yeah.
Yeah, that's just immediately Cheeto getting back on the train.
It's just this time it'll be death.
Yeah.
Also, instead of heartbreak.
So there is some speculation that the reason that Pacho was such a good boy and did not kill Cheeto is because there's some suspicion that when he got shot in the head, maybe like the part of his brain that, I mean, whatever part of the brain is like, oh, kill everything or whatever. And I guess doesn't understand like the human compassion aspect. That part got messed up in some part. And so that might be why it worked out. So I'd like to imagine Cheeto is just running around shooting crocodiles and being like hoping for another one, just terrorizing the town. And they're like, you gotta stop this, man. And these are a keystone species. We can't have these leave. And then he's just like, I need another one. I need to find love again.
I'll keep killing the crocodiles until they love me.
So the new crocodile, this crocodile has allowed him to pet it, but he has not had any success getting any further with it, and it kind of remains uncertain, which I think it's good he's taken a slow approach to this one and tried to ease into it.
Yep, I agree with that. Or just don't take any approach at all. Just
I don't know, maybe
it, just let it be, man.
Have you tried, you know, learning Sudoku or, you know,
maybe we should send your those freshmen in your fraternity down there. Maybe they'll somehow find a way to lose it and save Cheeto the anguish or the probably death
coming as well. Yeah. They're saving his life if anything. But yeah, that's the story of Pacho and Cheeto. And I think, you know, there's something to be garnered from this. So what would you say your lesson is? What's your takeaway?
This is a tough one because I disagree with the entire story.
not that it happened, just on a fundamental level.
On a fundamental level. If I ever
go ahead.
Hate my wife.
If you ever hate your wife,
I will just get the most inconvenient animal to join me in the house.
Okay. That's a good one. I was going to say that my takeaway is there's still hope for me to find a wife if this man can.
Okay, so we both went the wife route. I like it. Yeah.
Well, I think the wife is, without a doubt, the most pivotal part of this story.
Agreed.
So, in terms of a lesson for the next episode, I'm going to have you go ahead and do some research on the movie Around the World in 80 Days.
Okay.
I think there's...
Do I have to watch it?
You can watch it if you want. I don't know if I will. That might make for more fun if only one of us watches it.
Okay.
I think... How many days? 80 days. So I think there was an original in like the 70s. Then there's also one with Jackie Chan that was made in the aughts. Whichever one you want to watch, that's up to you.
It's available on Google Play for $4 to rent.
Okay. You don't have to, like I said. I think it also might be a book, but we all know you don't read. So
this is also true.
Yeah. So.
But yeah. I can do this. I'll do some kind of research.
Sounds like a plan to me. As always, everyone, please be sure to like, subscribe, all that jazz. We've been putting out some quality sods as of late.
Some sods.
We're on Instagram at Lower Education. And I'm Matt Schnowski. It's been great hosting you. And we'll see you again soon.
Peace.
Alrighty, let me hit.